This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, it is the Lombardi Line as we welcome you back on a Friday. Remember, Saturday and Sunday, Lombardi Line, get up with us early. We're excited to join you. He's Michael Lombardi, I'm Patrick Maher. We look forward every Friday to a half hour with the Hall of Famer from behind the book there at the South Point, Vinny Maliulo, as he joins us. Michael's got a game that he's had his eye on. I won't give it away. It rhymes with Hacksonville. He's going to attack Vinny about that game just coming up in a little bit. But I'm going to start here. You know, it's interesting as the bettors get more sophisticated. I feel like you may have had some under liability on a 38 number last night. Is that true? And then you cash the over as the book.
Well, first of all, guys, happy Friday. Good to be with you.
You too,
and
buddy.
Unusually, you know, typically the public loves to bet overs, right? And a lot of times the public for the majority of the times the public does bet over because they love points. I've oftentimes mentioned the fact that, you know, you go to these stadiums or you're watching games on TV and you hear that chant of defense, right? Well, those people are lying because they've got a ticket in their pocket or got some action with their guy, and it inevitably involves the over. So, but last night the game did get as low as 38. Pretty balanced action overall on the side, but of course it did cash. In the fourth quarter, to the over. So it was kind of a wash last night. What it did though was teasers were off and running. We oftentimes talk about guys that the Thursday night game gets teasers off and running. Of course, Steeler teasers. They did not do well with that that debacle at the end. So, Browns teasers cashed. Steelers did not.
Yeah, and I could see you all sitting back there, you, Chrissy Andrews, everybody, Jimmy, you know, having your peanut butter and jelly sandwich, laughing that the Steeler teaser that people put with a bunch of these other games are now free money for the book. Am I right or wrong, Vinny?
Well, I never laugh at them, you know, Michael. I mean, as Patrick will point out, he'll talk about my wry smile and my smirk, as he calls it, and everything. Meanwhile, you look at him right now, and he looks like the cat that ate the canary. But
I laugh at the teasers. I don't get the teasers. I don't, Vinny. I don't. I think it's too hard. It's just too. I mean, I think the Survivor contest is hard, and I think the teasers are hard. I think picking games are hard. But then you add this. You know, I guess I was, you know, it just to me, it seems too, when something seems too easy, like, oh, the Steelers are, you know, like for me, the idiot that I was last week, oh, Mike Vrabel's not going to lose 10 points to the Bills. That's too easy. Okay, yeah. Tease that up to 16 and a half. See how that worked out for you.
Well, you know, Michael, you bring up a point that's important, and it leads into something that you want to pay attention to as a bettor. We certainly are starting to pay more attention to it on our side of the counter. It's in-game adjustments. So you look at, you know, what do professional bettors, how do they approach the NFL? Let's start, just look at the NFL while we're talking about the NFL. Well, they make their numbers. They look at, you know, what we post on Monday morning. And, you know, if they see something they like or disagree with, then they'll make plays. They'll monitor the action during the course of the week, and then they'll wait for the inactives. And we'll get into that in a little bit because I think that's going to impact some of the topics we're going to talk about, some of these games we're going to talk about. But also paying attention to coaches that can make in-game adjustments. Last night, I think you also pay attention to coaches that don't make in-game adjustments. And I think an example of that last night, which impacted, you know, I think it had an impact on the outcome of the game, although it was, you know, a little freaky at the end there. The worst thing that if you had the Steelers last night, particularly in a teaser, you know, the last thing you wanted to see was that review at the end of the game. You were hoping that the Browns made that first down and the game, they were just going to take a knee and it was going to be over. But when my point about in-game adjustments on coaching staff, the Steelers really had a good first half. And everybody today, I'm hearing about, you know, Mitchell Trubisky and things like that. And I'm not saying that Mitchell Trubisky is one of the top flight quarterbacks in the league, but I think you have to start looking at the offensive court, Canada, right? I mean, I don't think why were things so different from an offensive philosophy standpoint in the second half compared to the first half? So I think those are some of the things too that you want to take away and you want to start evaluating when you're looking at these games.
Well, maybe you can answer that, Michael. Then we'll move on to your line of the week. Do you want to answer the Canada?
I think Vinny raised a great question. But I this falls right into there's some teams that are 50-minute teams, 55. They ran out of stuff to run, especially offensively. They had nothing left in them. Like that's what happens when you're limited by the quarterback. You can game plan success for a half, but eventually the other team figures it out. And, you know, I thought that the way Pittsburgh was playing them defensively, that Stefanski was very quick to react. That's why we saw a bunch of those easy throws to Njoku. But defensively, you know, there was nothing more they could do. They tried boots. They tried all these throws. They're limited so much that it's not a question of adjustments. It's a hindrance by the quarterback. I think Vinny raises a great point there. And that's why I categorize teams like Houston. They're a 50-minute team. Pittsburgh's a 50-minute team. They'll play hard for 60. They just don't have enough gas in the tank to go 60 and be competitive.
Okay, part of your, I'll call it the Friday grab bag. You can come up with a name that you prefer, Michael, but part of that Friday grab bag article is you pick out a line that confounds you, and that's available for VSiN Pro subscribers right now, VSiN.com/subscribe. So go ahead and run with this and run it by Vinny. There's a line that is confounding you right now.
Well, I think Jacksonville's a really good team, and I think Jacksonville is the best team in the AFC South after two games. Their offense is much improved, Vinny. I think that all the stuff from last year, you have to throw it out the window. I think this defensive front's really problematic. The Chargers enter the game with a quarterback who's coming off, who's going to have, you know, he's got rib cartilage problems. So, yes, they can put him in a harness and do all that and protect, and they can inject him for painkiller, but how effectively will he play? Plus, two offensive linemen, the starting right tackle Pipkins and the center Lindsey, they could potentially be playing but be playing hurt. I thought 7 was a little too much. I thought it was a little too high. I like the Chargers. I thought it was a little too high. The Chargers, I worry about the Jags blocking the Chargers front. I do, because that's the one weakness. But Lawrence is playing better. They can run the football. You know, I just thought it was, I think this line will come to 6.5 before it's all said and done.
You may be right, Michael, it may be even lower. I think the everything is going to hinge on Herbert, right? What his official status is going to be. I mean, we know he's not going to be 100%, right? When you look at this game, my power ratings have just on, and power ratings are always based on a neutral field, right? So it really comes to the Chargers as an 8-point favorite. Well, now what do you factor in? You factor in the injuries. Home field, again, home field, particularly in recent years in the NFL, has not been as big a factor, but particularly in a lot of places. Jacksonville has not had a particularly good home field advantage. In fact, it's negligible. But the advantage is they're sleeping in their beds, right? And here you have, you know, the Chargers that have to travel. Injuries, for sure, particularly to Herbert. So you may be right. I think once we see the inactives come out for this game, then you're going to see something, you know, there'll be more movement on this game in all likelihood. But don't forget, too, 7, the second most important number in the NFL after 3. And again, it takes a bit more to move off of that 7 than let's say a 6 or an 8. But you may very well be right here that that this game will come down and the Jags will be, even though the Chargers are at home too. You talk about another team that's really not had a home field advantage, right? In this whole transition from San Diego, we did take into consideration these injuries, which is why this game is not, we didn't go from 8 to say 9. We opened at 7 and waiting to see what happens. But I have to be honest with you, neither of these teams has a home field advantage. Chargers sleeping in their bed is the advantage, and the reverse. If it was going to Jacksonville, they would be going cross country. Now Jacksonville's coming cross country, so easier for the Chargers. You may see it come down. You may see it go up, Michael, too. If it's you know, reported, hey, Herbert's a go for sure, and he looks good in pregame, and that word gets out, then you know what? The reverse might happen, and you might see an uptick.
But Benny, the only thing I will say, though, all week long, there's been no money coming in on the Chargers on the board that I look at, right? So on Monday, the 18% of the money that was coming in was on the Chargers. Then it went down to 7, then it's 6, and now it's back up. And Jacksonville has 55% of the tickets on my board, and they've got 95% of the money. And yet the line's not moving, so something's going on here, because I think they're waiting to see, as you said, will Herbert play, and then they'll move the line. If he does play, they got to keep it where it is, because all of a sudden people start betting it. That's just my read on it. You're the handicapper. You're the Hall of Famer. I'm just a novice over here.
Well, listen, you know what? Even Hall of Famers have to you got to pay attention to the most important thing. What's happening at the window? What's happening on the phones, especially, right? So. The interesting thing about, do we pay attention to ticket count? Absolutely. But again, sometimes that could be a little deceiving. Let's say there's ticket count. You could have 100 tickets and you could have 90 tickets on one side, but the 10 tickets on the other side may balance out what the action is in terms of the handle, maybe even be more so. So, different factors that come into play. You know, we're certainly booking the faces. Booking the faces meaning, you know, who's a novice, who's a casual player, and who's a professional. But at the end of the day, I can tell you this: pros are everybody, though. Even casual bettors today, they're more in tune with what's happening and what to look at. And people today are paying more attention to injuries and to the inactives for sure.
We're coming back with Vinny next here at Lombardi Line.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, Vinny Maliulo was just bragging to me that he's become a VSiN pro. So what are you waiting on? Make some money this football season. You get full access to everything we do, including the grab bag I talked about from Michael Lombardi, his exclusive articles, Point Spread Weekly. You get the college and pro football betting guides, picks at a glance, the pro tips, 20 a day. They're archived every single day. 24/7 video, the pro tools, including the betting splits. Be like Vinny Maliulo. He's a Hall of Famer, and he signed up to become a VSiN pro. As we welcome you back here, Lombardi Line, Michael Lombardi. You know, the only reason I was smiling, Vinny Maliulo, from behind the book there at the South Point, is when Michael laid out the scenario, he kind of nailed it. You boys sitting in the back, Chris Andrews bitching about the Pittsburgh Steelers. You eating your once a day peanut butter and jelly sandwich, which your wife cuts off the crust. I mean, he kind of nailed it all there.
No,
I'm sorry.
No. Hold on a second. No. I like the crust. By the way, it's on whole wheat, and it's spread to the ends. Like, there's not just this glob in the middle. There's a science to the PB&J. Let's understand this.
Okay? I love it. But give me all that. He's just saying that. Give me all that teaser money. Give it all to me. And then how good of a weekend is it? I mean, they're liable to go to Michael's tonight, because that Steeler teaser money just killed a zillion of these things already. I mean, that's money in the bank. I mean, it's already done, right?
Well, we'll have to wait till after Monday night's game, but for Michael's, maybe we'll see how everything goes. Maybe Tuesday night. But you know, in all seriousness, guys, I tell you, and you know, Patrick, you did the read, and it kind of about, you know, the VSiN betting guide and things that we're talking about. The reality is that folks are much more in tune with what to pay attention to now than ever before. I mean, just like we, you know, at the end of our previous segment, you know, when folks can tune in, and again, folks have gotten much more educated since VSiN came on the air 5.5 years ago. Seriously, but again, it's not telling people what to do. It's information for people to decide what they want to do. But at the end of the day, you make your own decisions. You know, every day somebody comes up and they say, "Hey, Vinny, who should I bet on tonight?" I mean, who do you like? Who do you do a little bit of research? Listen to what we're talking about and make your own decision, because it's your money. But people are making much more educated decisions today because the information is here on our network.
Yeah, I mean, I say you're an investor, not a bettor. Once you become a VSiN pro, you graduate from being a bettor to an investor, and you kind of have to change that mindset. And we are happy that you signed up, Vinny, no doubt. Quickly, just to circle back, Michael Lombardi. So if the number, and by the way, I saw Herbert and it looked like he was throwing well yesterday. We shall see come Sunday. But just to reiterate, your number on that Jacksonville Charger game is what? What's the Lombardi line?
I have this as a 1.5 game. I mean, I have power ranked Jacksonville really well based on the two games, based on the quarterback play. I threw out the numbers from last year. Look, they have up front. They have created some issues with their front, you know, with the way that Josh Allen's playing defensive end, Josh Allen and the Travion Walker. I mean, they're good. They're a good team, you know, that they got to grow up. Understanding you got to grow up. I mean, they didn't grow up in Washington. They had a chance to win that game. Peterson went for it on fourth down. But I think they're the best team in the AFC South. I don't know a team that's better than them. Vinny, I'm shocked you're not getting a lot of action on them to win the South.
Well, a little bit of money came in future-wise, Michael. But again, I think people also realize that, you know, here we are going into, you know, week three here, and there are teams that really are extending. It's almost an extension of the preseason. When you look at some of these teams, they've just not hit their stride. And once again, who's one of those teams? It's the Colts, right? Yeah. The Colts are an absolute mystery. I mean, let's face it. Don't we think the Colts are better than what they've shown so far? There's no question about that. But clearly the Colts are trying to figure things out with a new quarterback especially. So I just think that what we're going to see is at some point, if we're having this same conversation in a month, then, I mean, we figured that Jacksonville would be better based on, the fact that they had last year. They've got, the draft that they had, some free agent signings as well. They figured to be better than a year ago. So Houston, does anybody play harder for their coach than the Texans? I don't know. I mean, you talk about, you know, guys that go out there and battle and just continue to play hard. They do the same thing. But I think the Colts in particular are really still trying to figure things out. And when when we put our power ratings together and make our adjustments, we realize they've underachieved so far, but that's on them. If we're having this same conversation in a month and then they're chasing a playoff spot in the second half of the year, well, then you know what? Then we overrated them, and that happens sometime.
We've got three college games on tap, including, how about Stephen Bond's Orangemen, Syracuse, the Fighting Babers. Dino's starting to cook there. Syracuse is laying 9.5, hosting a 2-1 Virginia team. How about Syracuse 3-0 here, Vinny?
Yeah, and Dino Babers, one of my all-time favorites. Remember a few years ago when they had that big upset win, and he was referring Clemson. To all of us. It was against Clemson, and he said, he talked about us bookies, you know, making them such big underdogs, and he said, I can't blame them. It's not their fault. I love it. It's one of my all-time favorite Dino Babers episodes. It's not their fault.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
They have flipped the script a bit here, the bettors, in terms of support. Right now, Syracuse is a 9.5-point favorite here at the South Point off the 10.5-point opener. So they did take the 10.5 and 10 with Virginia. I suspect, though, that we'll probably see some Syracuse money as we get closer. This is a primetime game, and I think we'll see some Syracuse money come in for this one. But right now, more Virginia money so far. And this one they're betting over. This one did open at 53 here, actually opened lower in some spots, and now we're sitting at 54.
You know, it's funny, too, because the Syracuse offensive coordinator was the offensive coordinator at Virginia last year, which gives Syracuse a huge advantage. And Syracuse offense, Patrick, I thought they played really well. You know, they made that great – I mean, that throw they made at the end of the game
was
ridiculous. I mean, it was sensational that he was able to put that in there. I thought that game was never going to happen, and yet they were able to win it. It was an incredible throw and catch, and they kept great poise on that drive. You know, I kept thinking the game was going to be over, and it wasn't. So hats off to them. I want to ask you about Notre Dame, North Carolina, Vinny. Like, how did you open it, and where is the money?
Right now, Michael, this thing about this game is North Carolina. We opened a game pick 'em. I mean, you know, you talk about a team that's been been a surprise, I think, to a lot of folks, and that's Notre Dame. I mean, they did have to. I don't want to say they quite escaped last week, but they got away. They got away. By the way, and then that, of course, the knee down. That would have been the difference in that was the difference in them covering or not covering at the end of the game. But this game open at Pick'em. North Carolina getting the money here. They laid pick. We went to one. They laid one. We're at 1.5. So right now, all about North Carolina, and totals holding steady pretty much at 55.5. But I think. North Carolina is going to continue to get supported in this game. We're probably going to need Notre Dame. You know, we have public teams we always talk about in pros. Notre Dame has been a public team for a long time in college. But that's starting to shift now because people are realizing, let's face it, they're just not as good as some of the folks in the preseason had them. I think we had them rated pretty well. But this is a time where I think they're getting a little bit exposed.
And it appears that Notre Dame hired Nathaniel Hackett as their head coach. your boy might be a little overmatched there in South Bend. We shall see. How about, are you sitting Clemson 7 at Wake?
Yeah, this one's going to be a pretty good game, I think. And I think that we did open Clemson as 6.5-point favorites, Patrick. They did lay it and go to 7 here. I think we'll see some pretty good two-way action on this game. I think we'll see both. This will be one of the more heavier bet games of the weekend. I got to tell you, I'm a little surprised, too. This is like the third week in a row where we've seen the real strong teams, right? The Bamas, the Georgias. Of the world, because it's those two pretty much and Ohio State. But these weak schedules are not doing these teams any favor in the long run. I mean, you always had that one game that was against a non-conference forward, a huge favorites. But 2 and 3 weeks in a row, I don't know. I mean, all that does is give them style points. It hasn't done anything really to change their power rating much.
Yeah, and it makes it hard, Vinny. Kent State's going to go down to play Georgia, right? Kent State's got a really good team. They've got a really good coach, and they got a chance to win the MAC, and they go down there, and they're going to get slaughtered, you know. And what is Georgia going to get out of the game? Like, what does Georgia get out of playing that? I mean, if you're going to make a donation to Kent State, why don't you send a check? Those poor kids got to go through it all.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I'd rather see much more competitive, because it's better for business too, to be honest with you guys. These games are not really getting a whole lot of play. You would think that, you know, there would be a lot of support, say, for the favorites, for the powerhouses. Not seeing it, not in these last few weeks.
Experts at Visa, none better than Vinny. We just took a deep dive. We're back.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, we talked about the sweepstakes, Santa Anita and ExpressBet earlier today. Well, FirstBet wants to invite you to enter their free sweepstakes to win a trip to Santa Anita Park October 6th through the 9th. The grand prize includes airfare, hotel, tickets to the races, plus $1,000 in betting vouchers. Remember, you can also bring a friend. Head over to vsin.com/horses to register. That's vsin.com/horses to register right now. As we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line. Oh, look what just popped up in my email. Michael Lombardi's lines for the week. Of course, we juxtapose his with the market every Sunday here on the Lombardi Line. I don't know if you heard it as we welcome you back, Michael. I don't know if you heard what Jerry Jones said, but it looks like there's a Cooper Rush, Dak Prescott situation boiling in Dallas. He said, Jerry, well, there's going to be a quarterback competition when Dak comes back. If Cooper keeps winning, that will be a competition. Just so you know, McCarthy came out today and said there is no competition. Dak's our starter when he's healthy. Why don't we start with, of course, Jerry's always interesting, but why don't we start with what you're hearing about Dak and his potential time frame as far as a return?
I mean, I think it is ahead of schedule. From what I'm told, he's throwing already, and he can pressure with that thumb. And to me, that's always the key, is if he can pressure the ball with the thumb and he's not going to lose the ball at a moment's notice, you know, then he's moving well ahead of schedule. And I love what Martindale said about him. Well, sure, Cooper Rush, you know, he looks really good on offense. You know, he's moving the ball. And, you know, pretty soon at 30, he'll be an offensive coordinator. By 38, he'll be a head coach. I mean, we know the trajectory on that one, you know. Yeah. which I think what Mr. Martindale was making fun of was that he can't even get a sniff on an interview, and all he does is coach the hell out of the defense. But look, I think it's interesting. This game is one of three, Patrick, that is in the contest, a pick 'em. And you don't see that very often, because remember, the contest for any of us listening to the show, this, and I'm talking specifically the Circa contest, it's kind of a snapshot of where they think the line is going to go, not necessarily where they think it is today. Like, for example, you know, I believe they have Cincinnati as a 6-point favorite against the Jets, and there's some 5.5s out there all over the place, right? So, you know, they have the Patriots as a 2.5, not 3, where there's some 3s out there, and you know, it's moved around. So that's interesting that they have 3 that are this way, and I think this one, frankly, on my power rankings, I have Dallas as the better team than the Giants, and I know that's horrible to say since the Giants are undefeated and on their way to the Super Bowl, but you know, I think the defensive front of the Cowboys can create some problems, and I think the Cowboys offense will run the ball. You know, without Leonard Williams inside, the strength of this team is their ability to play the run. And without Leonard Williams in there, that I think that will affect them. So, look, that last week they got their offense going a little bit. They only turned the ball over once. I mean, one thing about the Cowboys now, they won last week. They didn't create a turnover with their defense. I think this week they will.
Well, first off, that's going to be super odd when the Eagles play the Giants in the Super Bowl, because those are the two. I digress. Let's see. Okay, so Dallas, remember, this is Monday night. Dallas at the Giants, and this number is sitting 1. You mentioned Circa Millions. They've got a pick 'em. So it looks like Circa is expecting the number to head to Dallas a little bit. Your number favors the Cowboys, with the Giants right now sitting on the board as a point favorite.
Yeah, my number does, and I think that, you know, because I think the Cowboys, with their running game, if they can get that thing going, you know, Rush didn't play bad last week. I mean, you know, he was 25 of 44, 26 of 44. He didn't throw the ball down the field. It was 6.8 yards per attempt, but it was a hell of a lot better than what Prescott did in week 1. So I thought he was, at least he came in there, he was able to, you know, have a game-winning drive in a sense that he brought him back there to kick that field goal to win the game. That gives you some sense of confidence. Now, Jerry's just trying to make himself get a draft pick or do whatever he can do, but Rush will manage the game. I like what McCarthy said last week about, we're going to manage this game, and he did it. And their defense is good enough to carry them through this if they don't turn the ball over. And so I'm not sure. The Giants have to play their way. They got to not turn the ball over. They got to stop the run, and they got to limit Daniel Jones from making a mistake. And I think this game has a propensity for Daniel Jones to make a mistake.
Dallas is 9-1 straight up their last 10 against the Giants. Remember, it felt like every single season started with Giants Cowboys on Sunday night. Remember, it was like 5 years in a row where we got that game, and you're just like, come on, enough of this one. Let's go back to the Giants. We spent a little time with Cooper Rush and the Cowboys. The idea of Daniel Jones and that marriage with Daboll, it does still seem tenuous, no?
Oh, of course it is. I mean, look, the guy's averaging 6.6 yards per attempt, you know? And give him credit here. You know, he's had a fourth quarter comeback, and he's had 2 game-winning drives. Give him credit for that, right? Brought him back at Tennessee, even though Tennessee misses the field goal, you know, at the end of the game, and brought him back last week against the Panthers, and they kicked the field goal, and they knew. But Dallas has got to stop Barkley. I mean, that's the key. Barkley's averaging 6-1 a carry in the game, in the season so far. He's been dynamic. And so they've got to stop him, and they've got to make Daniel Jones play faster on third down. This is where the Panthers messed up. The Panthers had him in 18 third downs last week. They were 6-for-18 in third down, you know. And the Cowboys have to do a better job offensively of staying out of third down. Believe this or not, I know this is going to shock you, but the Giants are the best third down defense in football, partly because of the way Martindale coaches, the way he attacks their defense. And if they're able to do that and keep Dallas off the field, that keeps the game tight, because the Giants are 27th on third down, converting third downs. They're just not very good. They're not going to be very good at it all year, because Daniel Jones isn't good on that down.
I didn't see the Wink comment, but that is brilliant. Just to reiterate what Wink Martindale, who's the defensive coordinator there with the Giants, longtime defensive coordinator with the Ravens, what he's saying is Garrett And now on to, what's the kid from Boise, Kellen Moore, that's calling
Moore.
Plays.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's clowning around the fact that those kids, because they're in Dallas and they have cachet, they move up quickly, where Wink's been calling great defenses for years and can't get a lick as far as a head coaching interview.
Can't even get an interview. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, they he was with Joe Douglas at Baltimore. Joe Douglas didn't even interview him for the Jet job. And who's the better defensive coach? Put his career up against Salai's. I mean, who's the better defense? But again, marketability is matter. Remember, it's election, not selection.
Just because these injuries are adding up, you see what's happening in Orchard Park here with the Bills.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention, McDermott ruled out Dane Jackson, a cornerback, the safety, Micah Hyde, Jordan Phillips as well. And it looks like Jordan Poyer could miss, of course.
If they're going to miss. He ruled them all out. And yeah, I don't know if Ed Oliver's going to play. I mean, so now they're down Jordan Phillips and they're down Ed Oliver. I mean, that's got to be concerning if you're them going in there, especially going down to the heat and humidity where you want to have all your guys. You don't want to go in there with you want to have your depth in the defensive front. I mean, Jordan Phillips is supposed to be a rotational defensive lineman, not the starter, but he got to play because of Oliver's injury, and now he gets hurt. So, you know, this really favors, and again, it favors you in a heat and humidity game down there. This is going to have to be, I think this will be one of those where maybe this will just be a high-scoring game, and they're just going to have to try to play it that way and see what happens. But they got to do a good job of taking away the big play element of the Miami offense that goes through Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, Steven points out Gabe Davis still dealing with an ankle.
He said he's going to play, though.
He said he's
1,000% sure he's going to play. We'll see.
Okay, I point that out because Buffalo's at Miami. Just to quickly set up the number here, the injuries. Wow, that's a huge list that McDermott just listed. And this number is sitting 5, Buffalo laying it at Miami. Buffalo is that team right now. Look, you talked about the Allen tax. There is just, after what they did to Tennessee, that's going to be built into the number, baked into the number, but they are just going to be favored the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they'll be favored. I'm sure that maybe it'll be a pick 'em in Kansas City in a couple weeks, but they're going to be favored in almost every single game. And the number's always going to be baked in. Now, this injury really makes it hard, but Miami has their share of injuries. Is Xavier Howard going to play? That's concerning. Because if Xavier Howard doesn't play, all of a sudden this secondary, which is not a great man-to-man with the exception of Howard, becomes lesser. You know, can he play? Armstead, the left tackle, is he going to play? That's Von Miller. Can he block over there? What's going to happen? How's that all going to work out? So I think this is a game where a lot of things are going to have to be determined on Sunday, and I think that's going to determine where this line goes for sure.
You know, Steven brings this up, and we will do this at some point, just circling back to the D.C. there with the Giants, Wink Martindale, who left Baltimore because they brought in the young kid, McDonald, from Michigan, friend of the Harbaugh family. Well, the reason they fell apart in the second half in the fourth quarter was because of the defense. I don't understand the move there at DC with the Ravens. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I think they wanted to get back. I think Harbaugh, even though Harbaugh and Martindale have gone back for a long time, Martindale worked for his dad, Jack, at Western Kentucky. So I think they're probably, you know, after a certain amount of time, I think there was probably some resentment and, you know, wanted a fresh start on defense, maybe not be as aggressive. You know, but I think Baltimore thinks they're really good talent-wise on defense. I'm not sure that's the case.
Okay, we touched on it with Vinny. Your number, Jacksonville at the Chargers, is fascinating. And again, we like to compare the Lombardi line with the market, and we're going to do that next here on a Friday edition of the Lombardi line. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it's the spirit of Vegas. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the reward program. BetMGM Rewards is sports betting's premier loyalty program. So here's what you do. You sign up over at BetMGM.com or on the app. And when you do, every time you place a wager, you get points. You can use those points for free bets. You can use those points for hotel, dining, shows. It's just a great deal. It's like your credit card. You get points every time you place a wager. 21 years or older, and if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay, we got you back here, Lombardi Line, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, he's Michael Lombardi. So part of your grab bag on Friday for VSiN Pro members is you pick out a line of the week. And we've been harping on it, but I think it's important because I don't know if in the years that I've worked with you, we've seen a discrepancy like this. Again, it's Jacksonville at the Chargers. The Chargers are laying 7 right now. Your number is closer to Chargers 1.5 favorite. This is a huge discrepancy. We don't generally see this in the numbers, Michael.
Well, I mean, it's early in the season, so there is a margin for error, so I caution everybody on that. But I would say this. Look, Jacksonville's numbers defensively have been outstanding, right? They're 5th in the league in points allowed, right? They've created 6 turnovers in 2 games. I mean, 6 in 2 games, 3 in each of the last 2 games. They can rush the passer. They lead the league in interceptions, right? So that they don't turn the ball over. They've only had 1 turnover in 2 games. They've been able to run the football more effectively. I mean, I think that was the key to last week. They should have beaten Washington. I mean, they should have beaten Washington in that game. I mean, Washington really didn't do, you know, Washington missed a field goal. They turned down a field goal, and Washington wins by 6. So, you know, and they tried to go for it on the 2-point play, and they didn't get it. So they just gave away essentially 7 points right there. I think they played much. Last week was so impressive, Patrick. The game was over with 7 minutes to go in the first quarter against the Colts. It was over. They had dominated that game. Now they're athletic up front. Their pass rush is good. You know, and I think Mike Caldwell's done a nice job of taking the Todd Bowles scheme and incorporating. I think the Chargers are a really good team too. Like, they're really good as well. However, I think with the injuries and the uncertainty in the offensive line, I think that lends itself to where the Chargers may be, you know, vulnerable at this point, especially as that line's at 7.
It's day to day. Feeling more comfortable is the quote from Herbert. Expectations he's going to play. Look, if he went out there in that game when he was literally couldn't even hold himself up at times, he's going to play with the extra rest here. But let's circle back to Jacksonville. Watching the game, what you saw is kind of an emergence of Trevor Lawrence as well. Very safe with the ball, but he was 25 of 30, 2 touchdowns, no picks, close to an average of 8. I mean, Lawrence just looks more comfortable.
Yeah, he's been coached. He's got details. He knows, hey, if they do this, here's where we're going with the football. Here's how we're going to handle that. Here's how we're treating this. And his skill set's taken over. And I think the ATN addition this year, having him in there, you know, ATN averages almost 5.52 a carry. Having Robinson, who's a really good player, you know, who can run the football. And then, you know, when you look at Kirk's been really good. I mean, Kirk has gotten targeted 18 times, and he's got 12 catches. That's a 66.7%. So that's good. And Ingram, they're using in that tight end role. So I like what they're doing. I really do. I think that they've been able to kind of get their offense and identity of who they are. And I think that certainly helps. And I've been monitoring the money all week. No one's betting the Chargers, Patrick. It's kind of surprising. I mean, they have very little money on them at that number. Very little money. 9% this morning when I woke up, 9% of the money is in on the Chargers. Now, what other thing I like is I like the fact that the Jacksonville Jaguars are a low-ticket, high-volume, high-money team. 55% of the tickets, but they've got 95% of the money.
For you visual learners, let's go ahead, Steven, and throw it up. I got your text. Let's go ahead and throw up the Lombardi line, Chargers, Jags. This is what we do on Sundays here on the Lombardi line for Nesson and Marquis and Masson, all over, VSiN. Of course, just to take a look for the visual learners, there's a discrepancy. So again, it's early in the season. Like Michael said, there's room for error, but that's his true number. His number is 1.5 right now. And yeah,
I would be shocked. That's why I asked Vinny. I would be shocked if this number doesn't slide down to, to more of a 6.5. I would be surprised. I don't think it'll go over set. I don't think it'll go over that number, but it's a game that I think that it certainly has the potential that Jacksonville is really one of those teams that is being looked at. I mean, again, I'm looking at the board here again, 61% of the tickets, 91% of the money as of right now. And yet that line, which was going to open up, I think it was going to open up at 11. Now I'm seeing some 6.5s out there now. I think that's where it's going to go. If you like the Jags, take the 7. If you like the Chargers, wait and get the 6.5.
Yeah, I think that's an important point. That what you just said there is a great place to put a bow on it. If you do like the Jacksonville Jaguars, you can find a 7 right now. But the juice is pointing to 6.5. The number is moving down. So if you like the Chargers and you want to lay the wood, wait on it. You'll probably get a 6.5. You might even get a 6 by the time we kick that off, just because the inordinate percentages there. Just quickly, before we get out of here, kind of bring it full circle to where we started. Remember, we told you that 21 years ago, Tom Brady started to rewrite history. Mo Lewis crushes Drew Bledsoe. That was 21 years ago. Also today, 73rd birthday for Michael's boy, Bruce Springsteen. Now, I did mention at the end of yesterday's show, we've got a huge, that late window coming up on Sunday, Green Bay at Tampa Bay. That number, a pick'em, Tampa Bay lane 1. Tom Brady came out today and said he's got to do a better job letting his emotions get the best of him. You're good friends with him. I just happened to mention at the end of yesterday's show, you should write out and see how he's doing with the fam. Did you actually reach out to Tom?
No, I did not, and I'm going to leave that one alone. But I do think that it's interesting, and I wrote about this today. This, as you said yesterday, I mean, this number at 42, you got two blue-chip quarterbacks. I mean, has there ever been a game in this century with the rules helping passing games where the number's 42? I mean, 42 number, that makes the game, what, a 23-20 game? And they hit the over? That's pretty low scoring, but I think it's a tribute to the defenses. And I think it's a tribute to what Tampa's done defensively. Now, can Green Bay stop the run? That's going to be the key. Can Green Bay, they didn't stop the run last week, but can they stop it this week? And what receivers take a giant mother may I step forward? You know, I don't know if Julio's going to play. It doesn't sound like it. You know, Godwin's probably not going to play. Will they activate Cole Beasley? We shall see.
Evans, of course, is out with the suspension. But what Michael's referring to, and these two teams, when they play, they've traditionally gone to the over over the last 5-7 games. This Green Bay-Tampa Bay matchup opened 47.5. It's down to 42 at most shops, and a couple of 41.5s starting to post. So that number continues to come down. I'm a little surprised by it. Now, it is going to be hot. It is going to be humid down in Tampa Bay. Maybe there's something to that.
Yeah, and I think, that, you know, I mean, look, we know this. I mean, he could come out and play great. But Rodgers typically has struggled in the state of Florida. You know, the heat, the humidity, all that. And then where are they with their offensive line, Patrick? I think that's a concern, too. Bakari's not going to play. You know, I mean, they've got a bunch of injuries that they're hurting themselves with as well. Now, you can beat the Bears with those injuries. Hard to beat the Bucs, especially the Bucs in Tampa with the crowd noise and that defensive front, the way they're playing with Vita Vey, with Shaq Barrett and those guys. They're fast up front, and their corners have played really well. Jamal Dean and Carlton Davis have played really well, and they're going to just clamp up on these Green Bay receivers and prove and make it hard for Rodgers to have to throw the ball into very tight windows.
I want it to work out for Todd Bowles the second time around. A little PSA for Bruce Arians. Get the hell off the field, bro.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Go have a cocktail.
We said that.
What is he
we
doing?
Said it on the GM shuffle. Like, they said, well, they didn't provide a box for us. Well, I've never – the visiting general manager doesn't get a box. The visiting owner gets one, not the visiting general manager. You sit in the press box. There used to be a time where Al Davis sat in the press box. He was so loud and he was cursing all the time that they had to move him back to the owner's booth. But you know, that's usually what happens. You sit in the press box.
Did Al Davis have a favorite curse? Did he have a favorite curse word?
Yeah, it begins with an F and it ends with a K.
And it could have been
used in any sentence he liked. I mean, it could be a verb, it could have been a noun, it could have been an adjective. It was very versatile in everything he did.
What were you going to say?
No, I just say it.
I cut you off.
I mean, I've heard it so many times. I hear it in my sleep sometimes. I roll over and hear it.
Okay, so I have one more because we've never asked you this in years. It is Bruce's 73rd birthday. What is your favorite album of his?
It would be Darkness on the Edge of Town. It would be the Darkness album. You know, there's a lot of deep meaning in that album. A lot that resonates even today, even though I was 17 years old when it comes out. There's a lot to it.
You know what I like to do when I'm feeling emo? I like to put in Nebraska.
I love Nebraska, but I love Nebraska with the band. I don't like it's the solo. There's so many great songs. Johnny 99. You know they closed that auto plant in Mahwah late last night. You know that, Patrick.
Big Bets is next. We'll see you tomorrow morning here on the Lombardi Line.